So I saw all but 30 minutes of it because I had to leave and get to this.
Today?
Last night. But when I got to the party, I wrote about how you know, beautiful I think the film works.
Uh huh.
So, and I saw the rest of it today.
Very good. So.
And I was talking, of course, everybody that knows you, everybody is unqualified in their admiration for that particular sequence in Nine Lives.
Oh, thank you. Yes, the supermarket.
And I asked Sean Penn about this once and I said, how many takes was that? And he said something like 7 or 9 straight through, right?
About 9, each one a straight through, yeah. We picked like one of the middle ones, like 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love there was no cut. That was just beautiful. That was just the authentic.
And she does, you know, they're both good, but she does such a beautiful job of, you know, revealing what's inside. It's really, she's a terrific actress.
Mm. So to cut to the chase, what makes you so, not just adept, but, you know, really gifted at understanding and making good dramatic meat out of women's issues and women's lives?
You know,
why you in particular? A lot of guys trying to do this, I guess.
You know, I don't know. I was a cameraman for a long time,
yeah.
And I didn't really start to write till I had the idea for Things You Can Tell Just by Looking at Her.
Yeah.
And I was going to make it stories of men and women, but the first couple that I wrote were women, and then I wanted to write about men, and I just found that the women I was writing were more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just. They were more varied, they were more distinct one from the other. And, you know, I think like with anything, when you start writing, when you start with anything, you exercise your strongest muscles, you know, you build on what you do well. So I started writing, you know, more and more female characters. And, you know, I love women, and I obviously I have no real idea of what it's like to be a woman, but it, you know, it in my imagination, you know, I'm very taken with them. And so I just kept working along those lines. Also, you know, I'm interested often in stories that are very daily, that are very just people's, you know, complications with their loved ones. And, you know, it's harder for me to think of stories that are, you know, blowing up a bridge, killing a lion, invading Poland, you know, all this stuff that is, you know, often seen more as masculine quests. Of course, that's a gross generalization. But I like, you know, problems that I address, for example, in Nine Lives or in Things You Can Tell or even in Mother and Child, which is, you know, that person that you can't live with and you can't live without. You know, the umbilical cord with someone that can be a mother, a parent, you know, a sibling, an ex-husband, an ex-wife, and how that bond is very hard to break. And, you know, I think women are very many different things, but one thing they do share, they're a lot of the glue in the family, the glue in our communities. So the glue interests me, I suppose.
Each character, particularly Naomi Watts' character, and the young girl who's pregnant, who's about to decide who to give her a child, they're all very feisty. And curiously contrary, I guess. They have contrarian streaks in them.
Mm-hmm.
I love that moment when Naomi Watts, for instance, I won't be specific, but she entices a next-door neighbor.
Yes.
I thought it was one of the most amazing little odd moments. Where did that come from? That was fascinating because that fit in her character, you know.
You know, I've always thought of these women, particularly Karen and Elizabeth to begin with. They, you know, they were women who had been hurt by something. I think, you know, Karen had all but being forced at age 14 to give up a baby. You know, at that age probably had no say. Elizabeth is someone who I always imagined just never accepted the fact that she was given up for adoption. Of course, many people are happily adopted. You know, it's a love story. So, I mean, I've always seen adoption as a love story. There are many successful ones and others that work less, or many successful ones with complications. I always thought Elizabeth just never accepted that she had been given up for adoption. So for different reasons, both Elizabeth and Karen became control freaks, as they were. They wanted to control their environment because their environment had hurt them. So they are, you know, they're very willful, they're very reserved, they're very, you know, they don't trust. And so, yeah, they do behave in tough ways. You know what they are? They are not pleasers. And so many women have to please. I think we all have to please. But, you know, for women, it's a particular burden to be the good girl, the good daughter, the good sister, the good girlfriend, the good mother. And, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, that I don't think it's shocking, but it's unusual, is these women don't want to please you. They want to run their life the way they want to run it. And I think, you know, the character played by Sharika Epps that you were referring to, Ray, you know, someone who doesn't, I think, at heart want to give up her baby. And she's struggling with that. And Lucy also, you know, these are all women who want to control their world. And that's tough.
You know, one of my favorite films about women's family film was Curtis Hanson's film, Inner Shoes. And I felt it was a inappropriate and unfair label to call it a woman's film, as I do your film, because when one hears that term, one associates certain types of films that are geared towards, you know, the female market, if you will. And this is so much better. It's on such a higher level than what one associates mm-hmm. with that term. But I suppose, do you have issues with hearing the term woman's film?
Well, I have issues with whatever puts you in a niche.
Yeah.
You know, that's obviously tough. You know, what's interesting is that there's no such thing as men's films or men. You know, the men's film genre almost like doesn't exist as a genre.
I mean, there's Jerry Bruckheimer movies.
I know there's action films, etc. But you know, even yeah. you know, girlfriends go with their boyfriends to see movies like that. I think what's interesting is that anything said, written, performed, anything about a woman or women is in itself the subject of a look and an analysis. You know, you can do a movie about a man and it's just a movie. You do a movie about a woman and everyone wants to look about how that woman is seen, portrayed, perceived, meaning the representation of women is always a matter of study, speculation, and reaction. You know, you can't do a movie with three women and not be a woman's movie or a chick flick or something. And, you know, that's always interesting. Again, I do the movie that comes out of me. I'd love to make movies that, you know, were not perceived as women's films. I'd love, you know, but I'd make the movie that comes out of me.
Right.
Often I'm already, you know, writing the script before I realize, oh, here I am again with another woman lead.
Now, this is having been a fan of Annette Bening for many years, of course. And to me, this is a landmark performance. I think it's the best thing she's ever, really, truly, I think it's the best, particularly in part because she de-glams for mm-hmm. most of the film. And it's quite raw, quite open, quite penetrating. And
you know, I think it is. I think she really, I mean, she embraced it wholeheartedly, especially, you know, starting at the point where Karen, the movie starts where Karen has been, you know, carrying this problem. She's been wounded for 36 years. And you know, I think as you get older, unresolved things get heavier. You know, the baggage gets heavier. I think she's a 50-year-old woman who hasn't grown, who in some ways is toughened, but is still 14 and frustrated. And, you know, starts someone who's beyond prickly. I mean, she's difficult. She's rude.
Yeah.
You know, I always imagined that what she was doing with Paco was testing him. It's like, okay, you think you can flirt with me? Flirt with this.
Yeah.
You think you're attracted to me? Are you attracted now? Meaning, don't waste my time. If you're really going to like me for all that I am. Otherwise, shoo.
Right.
But, you know, Annette embraced that. You know, she really, as you said, starts very unglamorized. You know, Karen herself wears little to no makeup. And it's amazing how Annette managed to track that very slow comeback for Karen, you know, from complete imprisonment, from completely being closed off to life and what life can mean emotionally, to live life can be potentially painful, you know, until at the end, where even though there are things she could not achieve, she has accepted them.
With which one of the three amigos do you have the closest relationship with? I know this is a cha-cha-cha.
I have different relationships, very close. I mean, I've known Alfonso the longest because we've known each other since we were 20. I knew Guillermo back in Mexico when he was a special effects and prosthetics guy, you know, and I worked with him a couple times, but I knew him socially also. And in the last few years, I've become very close to Alejandro, because whom I met in L.A., but we live in L.A., we're neighbors in L.A., we read each other's scripts and count on each other.
Was there any development from those guys, any notes?
Yeah, well, at one point, they were going to produce the movie themselves, you know, through their Focus deal.
Right.
But I wasn't able to do it because we...
Why do I read their name on top of the film? In association
no,
with or...
No, Alejandro's name. Alejandro's still an executive producer on the movie. I was not able to do the film with Cha-Cha-Cha because when we were ready to shoot, there was a threat of the SAG strike. And their deal is with Focus, and it was going to be very difficult for, you know, we weren't going to get a strike wave.
Yeah.
You know, it was difficult for a studio to, you know, they didn't want to make a movie when a strike was imminent. So we parted ways amicably.
Mm-hmm.
Alejandro had been helping us trying to get the movie done even before Cha-Cha-Cha existed. So he remained as an executive producer. But, you know, we have, you know, a very good relationship and all their support. And, you know, he sent the script out to Naomi and was instrumental in getting her interested.
Now, just from a practical standpoint, there's not that many performances that have come out this year that are people are talking about as far as getting attention for any film, from Carey Mulligan being one and maybe Meryl Streep. But this should be out before the end of the year, and they should... do a thing on the film's behalf, and particularly on Annette's behalf, no?
I hope so. I mean, the movie premiered last night,
right.
And that's the first time, distributors have seen it.
Why didn't you show it at Telluride? Because that struck me as a real Telluride film.
You know, this is really where, you know, we were offered this gala here, and we
right.
thought this would be a very good place to open it.
Yeah.
You know, distributors are seeing it last night and today, and, you know, hopefully we'll have a taker. I think it's possible that it could, you know, at least make a quick run before the end of the year.
That's what
I'm
thinking.
And I mean, I certainly agree about Annette. I think her work is beautiful.
Yeah.
You can fit all that video in that little camera?
This is a little elf, and it depends upon the memory card that you buy.
I was surprised that you kept running. I thought, wow, this is not a 5-minute deal.
Yeah, you can actually only have an 8 gig, and you can go up to 16 and 32. So pretty good, and 720 video, and the it's 12 megapixel. It's better than my big, important-looking camera that you know I walk around as a paparazzi. Thank you very
Thanks
much
a lot.
For taking the time.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. You do the whole run of the festival, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm here until Friday.
You're in prison.
Yes, I am in prison.
What else have you seen? What have you seen that you like?
Definitely the comic book film. Those are the three most satisfying, the most complete. And there's been many others that I've half liked or been agreed by or not had that big problem with. I think I read that the developer, you have been writing this for, what, 5-6 years or working
on it? For 9 years.
9 years.
Sadly. You know, it's very hard to find a way to,
at what point do you have all the financing and you're able to get
UCLA Live. Where are you based, in L.A.?
For years I was, but I moved to New York last November.
Mm-hmm. Oh, were you from there originally? Or?
Yeah, actually I was. My mom was nearly bald of tooth, and you know, I was living in an assisted living facility in Connecticut. I have two sons, one in Syracuse, one in Philadelphia, going to college.
So back.
It's better to be back there.
This is me. You go down to the ground. No, this is me here.
Oh, this is you. I'm going down.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Take care. Except there's this woman, Danielle, a friend, who's going to, maybe I should wait for her. She'll probably be here in a second.
Thank you. Oh, so am I. And I've been texting you an email. Where in Soho are you? Okay, I'll come right out. Thanks for your help again. Done here, so I couldn't get in. I didn't do the legwork. Well, it's that place on Wellington, so why don't we just head down there? Huh? What do you want me to do?
In the front. No, I've been here for 15, 20 minutes and you're not watching bums.
I drove here really slow.
But I wore this dress tonight. Is it all right?
What am I?
This dress?
Oh, very nice, yeah.
It's cute. This one is sexy as the other one. But... Okay. Ed, you remember Jeffrey?
Jeff, you get in the front.
Ow!
Is Ed driving you around, or what's the deal?
No, he's going to drop me right off. He just dropped me off. Oh. He's going to bring us to the restaurant. I want you to take a cab. You want to do that?
Went inside to talk to Rodrigo Garcia, who's the director of Mother and Child.
Yeah, you told me that was you.
Naomi Watts, Annette Bening.
Did you want me to?
It's done.
Yeah, but you didn't need me in there.
No, I just sat there and videoed him.
I was confused. I thought you were moving your
film. That was prior. That's what was my plan. I wanted to go in and look at the film for maybe, you know, like a half hour or something.
Yeah, but you
just to be able to see, to say that I
it
had seen
packed.
Some of it.
Can I ask you where we're going?
Back
Weimar.
There.
Weimar.
That's great.
Yeah. So is that one-way street at Weimar? Yeah, you know what? That fucking hall was really busy, though. I mean, no.
Roy Thomas, you mean Elgin.
Elgin.
Yeah.
So bad. So, Jeff, Ed, we gotta go to Jeff's site tonight and go read his stuff and do it.
I think you took me there the other night.
Yeah, I know, but you should go look tonight, because you know why?
Do you update it every day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Michael Moore and I are on.
Right.
Look at the pictures.
Yeah, I update it all the time.
He does it like all day.